This is the Blogpire Podcast for the week of October 9th, 2006. This is Episode 4, Blogpire Autumnal Festival. Today we're going to be talking about all different kinds of recipes, foods, fun, and excitement for the autumn season from all around the Blogpire.
This edition of the Blogpire Podcast is sponsored by Stomping Grounds Beverage Company, makers of the amazing Stomping Grounds Espresso Concentrate. Stomping Grounds Espresso means less mess and more time to drink coffee. Each box contains 12 servings of your favorite coffee flavors, including espresso, caramel, vanilla, and mocha, at stompinggrounds.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Blogpire Podcast. We're very glad to have you. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
Today's episode is the Autumnal Festival.
It's fall here in New England. It's awesome.
It is. All the leaves change color. You know, the pumpkins are on display.
Pumpkin was carved at my house on Friday.
Nice. How'd that go?
Well, pumpkin definitely lost some pumpkinness.
A little less of a pumpkin than he used to be.
Yep. My daughter's obsessed with looking inside the pumpkin's head and seeing what's in there. She's like, something's got to be in there now, right? It's just empty.
Do you put a candle?
Sure. Yeah. No, we haven't yet. Yes, we will.
Nice. Excellent. So, besides carving a pumpkin, what else have you been up to? How's the last couple of weeks been for you?
It has been busy. You know, this is the fall product season. You know, people are sending us more products than we can, even deal with.
Ramping up for the holidays.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I have an entire bevy of stuff in the back of the car that I brought over this morning to give to you and didn't bring up, but it's in there.
Nice, awesome.
I mean, like, for those of you who don't know, Russ is going to be basically doing Casino Snob, which is a up-and-coming blog for us, one we haven't launched, but hey, we're talking about anything at the podcast pretty much, right?
You get all the inside info right here on the podcast.
This is my social security number. 17, 54, like, 37, and it's my locker combination. No, but we've been getting tons of stuff. I mean, you know, I write the coffee site. I probably have nothing short of 15 different new coffee products, makers, flavors, variety. And within each box that I get, there's like five new things to review, including like Jetboil sent me. If you don't know what Jetboil is, it's like this crazy camping stoves that when you hike, have the mug on top, or they have different versions of it. This one is actually a Jetboil with integrated French press.
So you can get like amazing coffee when you're on the Appalachian Trail.
Yep, absolutely. Cause,
wow.
And we actually, Preva Export, which is like this portable espresso maker we reviewed this summer, but I'm excited to try the Jetboil thing. I'm basically, we're going to, later today, we're actually going to the Topsfield Fair, which is a fall festival. You smell the leaves, you see the colors, the kids are walking around.
Carnies are everywhere.
There's carny folks, small hands. And basically, you know, I'm going to come back later tonight, and, you know, while I'm making dinner, I'm going to basically boil up some French press Jetboil coffee for the review.
Very nice.
So that's kind of what we do around here, you know, at the Blogpire.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is sort of a quick question, maybe for the listeners. Is the Senseo program, the share program, still up on SingleServe?
It's not, but it was a huge success. So we Sara Lee, you know, basically sponsored a bunch of the blogs, you know, a bunch of the cooking and coffee blogs that we run. Single Serve Coffee, Single Serve Espresso, Kitchen Contraptions, the Cooking News, etc. Basically, I think they gave away something north of 500 to 1,000 Senseo coffee makers free to our readers if they filled out a survey. So that went really, really well for them, and I'm excited because actually I've gotten a lot of notes from people who. Hey, by the way, I did actually get my coffee maker. People who write in on the thing, it's like, we are not going to put offers on the sites, you know, that you're not actually going to get the thing that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was funny. It's like people are really leery. And I understand there's a lot of people trying to get your information, a lot of things you sign up for, and it never happens. But, you know, if something goes on our sites, you're going to get it.
Very nice. I will admit that I actually also filled out the survey and everything, and they decided that I was qualified to share the Senseo, and I did. I brought it to my office. I shared it with everyone. People were very excited, and now I have an alternative coffee at work that's, you know, a little better than the standard stuff. And I think it definitely was a very big success.
Yeah.
So way to go, Sara Lee. That was awesome.
Yeah, and we're actually doing another giveaway promotion. So we're on singleserveespresso.com and singleservecoffee.com. Stomping Grounds Espresso, Stomping Grounds is a beverage company. They make this espresso concentrate. Basically, you've seen like a giant juice box.
Do they stomp it with their feet like...
Yes, they like squish Lucy. The coffee beans in their feet in
delicious.
Giant vats, and it smooshes it down.
No.
This stuff's great. It's basically like a latte in a box. So it's like it's liquid. You know, you put it in your refrigerator after you open it. You basically can make like an ice drink. You can heat it up and make a hot drink. It's got like caramel, vanilla, mocha. And, you know, this is actually kind of... a little bit of a trend. There's a bunch of these beverage companies that are starting to make, you know, coffee in a box. You know, basically like good to go, like flavorful, wonderful coffee. And I've had the Stomping Grounds espresso concentrate for
How do you actually make it?
You don't do anything except pour it out into the cup. That's it. It's actually a pre-made brewed batch of coffee, just like you buy like an iced tea or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But it's basically.
Is it in glass? You microwave it? I mean, what do you do?
It comes in a box, and basically you can heat it up, or you can drink it iced. And I know that you like iced coffee.
I love the iced coffee.
Well, anyways, they're giving away, we're going to be giving away 150 boxes of the stuff for free for people who sign up for the newsletter at singleservecoffee.com and singleserveespresso.com.
Sweet.
So they're excited about getting readers the information about that, and they're actually helping us get more readers so that, you know, we can tell them about cool products. And I think that's what's really interesting about, you know, the whole blog space is the fact that the companies are working with us to promote and do PR and help them out. And if they've got a good product, we're like, yeah, that's interesting. Let's give that away to our readers. We really like it. We reviewed it. It was really good. And Scott Martin over at Single Serve Espresso was like, hey, he got in touch with this guy and tried it out and reviewed it and was like, yeah, this is great stuff. It's exciting to do that stuff.
Well, and for all of you out there, we have you to thank. You know, you guys are the ones we're writing for. You're the ones who make this thing go around. And, you know, just keep on reading because we'll try to bring you the coolest news we can.
Yep. And, you know, there's other promotions going on right now, too. GPSLodge.com. You can sign up for the mailing list there. Get $50 off at Amazon.com.
Hello.
And we're also going to be giving away stuff in November and December are going to be the big months on all of the different weblogs, including ShavingStuff.com is going to be doing promotions. So you can sign up for our mailing list. And basically, as long as you're on the mailing list, you're eligible to win any of the stuff that we're giving away. And we're going to be giving away quite a bit of stuff.
Nice. All right, first up, let's take a look at
KitchenContraptions.com.
Excellent.
This is supposed to be our autumnal harvest fall show. Basically, Maya over at KitchenContraptions.com is starting to feature things to make Thanksgiving dinner. Now,
Good time to plan early for that, let me tell you.
Maya is my wife and loves Thanksgiving. She loves turkey, mashed potatoes. She likes the whole thing. It's like, is it too early to start talking about Thanksgiving? She's got this double action potato masher.
Okay, we're looking at a post on October 6, 2006 at kitchencontraptions.com, and that thing looks like it's amazing.
Yeah, so typically a potato masher has one ring of stuff on the bottom. This is going to get, like, as you push the mash in, you know, it kind of splooges
sure, it
out.
Up
it gets
the
a double
grate.
Mash. Because there's a second layer of mash material.
Now, that second layer doesn't move or anything, right?
No. But also, what's interesting here is that they've got this Y-split, which also, like, will push the potatoes off to the side instead of it continuing to cake up on the top of the masher.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, really
well,
good
that's
stuff.
That's pretty cool.
All right, the other cool thing this week at Kitchen Contraptions, or what should I say, and hey, I'll say it, automatic sugar dispenser. I review a lot of coffee in the kitchen. I get sugar everywhere. Note, being married to the proprietor of single serve coffee, we always have sugar all over our counter. This is a cool way to avoid the mess. This looks sort of like a salt peppermill shaker thing, but it's got a button at the top that just sort of, you push it, and sugar comes out in a poured fashion instead of being like, oh, look at me, I scooped my sugar out, and I got it all over the counter, and I didn't clean it up.
Now, does it have a spring inside, or is it battery-operated? How's
I
that
think
really?
It's just manual. Basically, we're talking gravity and open the sleuth gate at the bottom.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? Some other cool things this week at kitchencontraptions.com.
Oh, wait, go back there. Sorry. He's scrolling around, and he's looking past thing. Apple tart pan.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Why the hole in there?
Oh, because basically the pan's non-stick, but you need to have the removable bottom because you need to press the pastry into the pan.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, basically you press it in and then you put the bottom on, you flip it over, you get the brown on the top.
Yep, sure.
Right? I mean, that's...
I gotcha.
That's our apple tart pan. One of the other cool things is, you know, coming up, we got fall cookies. We're going to be talking about this at reallynatural.com a little bit later. But basically, these are pie crust cutters. And, you know, you can roll out a pie crust, and you can also cut little shapes and stuff, and then you can decorate the top of your pie
you put that
with,
on the pie.
Like, leaves or pumpkins or, you know, whatever. Or, frankly, if you've never taken and made cookie cutter stuff of pie dough and just bake that out really quick and, like, put a little butter on there, it's delicious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pie dough cookies. But, so, like, butter, they're like biscuits.
Yeah, it's like a morning wonder snack, right? Like my curry donut ate not too long ago.
Do they, these are kind of neat. What are they, what are they, little plastic guys, you know, press it out, you press the thing.
It's got a spring-loaded handle, so basically, you know, push it down, you get the cut, there's like a rim of cutting it inside there, it's like a, you know, a metal thing.
Oh, yeah,
so,
sure.
So you don't hurt your hand, and basically you just push down on the top, and voila.
Voila.
You have a wonderful cut pie crust cutter.
Very nice.
Another neat thing this week, expandable cooling rack.
Got a lot of cookies to make.
Exactly. You want to put the pie on top. It's basically, this is almost like a day bed, right? Or like a, what do you call those, a trundle bed. Right. So imagine you've got the giant cooling rack, and underneath the cooling rack is trundle beds of other cooling racks.
You just pull out little Johnny's bed.
Right.
Johnny,
so you're like,
Johnny
oh,
cookie.
I made the pie, but I've run out of space. Oh, no. I'll pull another rack out from underneath, cool some cookies, push it back in when they're done. I don't have to pick up another rack and put it away.
That's true.
Love it.
I like it.
Yeah. So lots of things going on, including microwave apple cooker. I mean, this stuff is fall.
Yep.
You think fall, you think cookies, pies,
pumpkins,
mashing.
Apples.
Apples. Absolutely. Hot apple cider. I mean, that's the thing. Today, we're going to be going to the fair later today. There'll be hot apple cider there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Hot mold.
Mold. Big mold ball in there.
Do you ever get mold anything else?
Huh. Not so much.
Mold beer?
No.
Malt beer?
Yes. Definitely.
Anyway.
So this this microwave apple cooker looks like an apple, like a porcelain apple.
Of course.
You put your apple inside. You core it out.
Yeah.
Right? Then basically...
Is that a coring device?
Yes, it includes the core.
Very nice.
You fill your apple with maybe some like chopped up walnuts.
Cinnamon, nutmeg.
You put this thing in the microwave. Out comes smushy cooked apple that you can just eat. Make a little apple crisp right in a cup.
Wow. Apple crisp for one.
Apple crisp cup.
Nice. That's pretty neat. I'm hoping to see a lot of apple pies in my future. So
yeah, so I think continue to check out kitchencontraptions.com as the fall lingers on. We've got literally, you know, it's a death march countdown to Thanksgiving at my house. So basically, you know, you'll be guaranteed to get as many Thanksgiving fall wonders that you can imagine in the next 2 months, which will probably end up being needed to be purchased or reviewed at the kitchen.
I can only imagine what your kitchen must look like at this point with slews of gadgets of all different shapes and sizes and colors and textures. And
I know we talked about a pumpkin earlier.
Yeah.
There's a pumpkin pie in my kitchen right now.
Nice.
All right.
I guess it's not all bad, right? All right. That was a nice little coverage of the kitchen area. Where are we headed to next?
We're going to change gears, take a little break from the, you know, fall thing for a second, and basically go over to shirtsnob.com. Laura's got an amazing thing. She does this every Friday. It's called Accessory Friday. And, you know, since the site, I think all the sites try to do something where they shake it up a little bit during the week. And on Friday, she says, let me just go handbags, you know, like boots and different things that aren't shirts at ShirtsNob.
Sure.
Breaks it up for the reader. And, like, this is, you know, this past Friday, she's got angry little girl totes. And they're these crazy tote bags where it says, weenies should be fried. And it has this little girl cooking on this, like, tote bag with basically some wieners.
There's actually a friend of ours who wears angry little girl tees, or at least she has one that's an angry little girl tee, and it's this little girl flicking you off, and it's pretty amusing. It gets a laugh every time.
Yeah, they got a lot of cool stuff, like I hate people, the angry little girls hate messenger bag, you know, lots of interesting stuff. And I think that's what's cool, is Laura finds something a little different each Friday, you know.
Storybook.
I don't even know what this is necessarily, but it's like
some kind of a bamboo pen, maybe.
Well, I think, you know, this is one of those trends of people starting to be more formal, send some mail, maybe write some stuff down in a journal, try to get away from like the whole hustle and bustle of the internet. And you know, the storybook sells. Basically, these are just different thank you cards that you can actually hand write out with a pen.
I can't write.
Yeah, I can't write either. But, you know, and also the company, this company will also write out hand cards
for you.
Yes.
That's
so
wrong.
You could just type them and send them. So I think if we go there, yeah, so cross thank yous off your to-dos.
This is at storybookcards.com, which is off of the shirtsop.com.
So they have, like, thank you services. Now, thank you services, let's see. So basically, they'll provide you customized thank you messages within 48 hours of you sending it in. So let's say that now, you know, let's say that you've just, you know, had a wedding shower, and you're just like, I need to offload some of these thank you cards.
It's so wrong.
It's so right. You just send a list of the stuff over to these people. Here's the people who bought it, whatever. Here's some things I'd like you to type out.
Do they write, like, some little personal message on your behalf?
Think about the improved penmanship, though.
Okay, fine. I mean, I do have penmanship that's pretty darn horrible. But, I mean, are they writing, dear so-and-so, thanks for the tote bag. I'll use it every weekend.
No, but no. Check this out. Once you approve what they're writing, they write them out.
Okay, there we go. There's an approval process.
There's an approval process. The completed cards can then be sealed, stamped, mailed from them, or they'll send them to you for a final approval.
Oh, so you can mail them to make it look like
you
did it.
So look, it came from your post address, right?
Oh, that's terrible.
I love it. Another gem from ShirtsNob.com's Accessory Fridays. You know, moving down, she covers like headbands and like shoes and boots and brooches and hair accessories and all kinds of things that, you know, you and I can never truly enjoy with our lack of hair.
Yeah, we just so you guys know, we did try to get Laura on the show this week, but unfortunately she's out of town, so we're going to have to get her in the future. But we are going to have Laura here to talk about ShirtsNob and talk about the different things she does with the blog pyre. And I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more because
I'm
a slob.
And I've said this before, I'm always amazed at just how much of this stuff she can find and then how many things that are interesting from the storybook to the accessories. But, you know, it's just the breadth of coverage in the accessories thing. I mean, I'm sure we could do, like, you know, hair accessories blogs and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's fun to get a little taste of it each week instead of having to sort of, I think, slog through an entire thing, you know? Whereas, like, I think a limitless supply of cool t-shirts I can deal with.
I have a new idea for a blog for the blog pyre that I'd like to promote to you right now.
Oh, it's
really?
It's
called shirtslob.com, and I can run that one.
You could just...
It'll just be my belly poking through a ratty old t-shirt.
After lunch and perhaps a large Thanksgiving dinner portion?
Definitely.
All right.
All right, where are we going next?
We're going to thecookingnews.com. It's a site run by Mike Dupuy and his sister, actually, Jennifer. And they cover recipes and stuff from all over about all different things. They've got a bunch of fall recipes from, you know, different breads and different sort of frittatas and, you know, all kinds of stuff for the fall. But they've also, they cover barbecue recipes. They cover lots of recipes. So people really enjoy this site. They go there. They read about daily recipes that they provide. It's someplace to sort of also, they a lot of different articles, too, on what's happening in wine, what's happening in, you know, different, what's the trends in vegetables. Like, you know, this week, the whole spinach thing we talked about, you know, has that been souring with the thing? Swiss chard is now taking over as, like, the new leader in leafy green.
Oh, interesting. You know? Swiss chard has stepped into the hole, the vacuum of power.
Yeah, so I was actually listening to this, and I actually got it from the cooking news, but I sort of started to Google out and read about some different recipes that people were substituting Swiss chard in for spinach. Uh-huh. And creamed spinach, right? You take
like a can of creamed spinach?
Well, yeah, but when you make creamed spinach, you actually cook the spinach, and then you like cook a lot of cream. And the guy's like, well, you know, Swiss chard will taste so much better than spinach. I'm like, hey, you know, I think a quarter heavy cream will taste good no matter what.
You can put, you know, a dirty penny in the bottom of that thing, and it'll taste delicious.
Absolutely. So, thecookingnews.com, they've got, you know, here's a good one. They say, we've got a post on October 6th, caramel gives sweet satisfaction, and they come up with like three or four different recipes of what to do with caramel, how to make caramel sauce, pumpkin pudding, caramel ice cream. You can use caramel on chocolate caramel nut tarts. So it's always something a little different, and I think it's a great site. And especially with fall and Thanksgiving coming up, it's a good place to get some, you know, resources for making Thanksgiving dinner or just making interesting, you know, dinners and lunches and stuff for the fall.
Sure, yeah. I mean, fall's really a time where I know a lot of people, you know, they kind of get together a little bit more, spend a little more time with family, not just because it's, you know, Thanksgiving, but also, you know, as it gets colder, people tend to come inside and sort of congregate around the table. And it's, I mean, we, in our, you know, in our family, we like to try to get together and, you know, have some nice meals and things, and it's definitely fun to try to come up with some new recipes and explore a little bit and try different things out.
It can also be exciting to try to go to one of those gatherings and offer something up like...
Sure.
There's an article on October 2nd on thecookingnews.com. Basically, wine and the holidays. How to achieve perfect pairing of wine and food.
That's always a challenge. You know, you go to the dinner, whether it's, you know, even if it's not holiday wines or whatever, it's like you just go to any dinner and you want to bring the wine, but it's like you want to do that the meal justice.
Yeah, basically... You don't want to go and serve whiskey shots at your family dinner.
Wrong
and,
family.
You know, or you probably don't want to bring fruit punch to an adult-only dinner. Nor do you want to put the wrong wine with the wrong food and look sort of like, I don't know what's going on. Or if your family isn't even into that, like, you know, sharing with them what good wines go with what. You know how when you share a little information with your parents, they're like, oh, I now know this. And then they kind of roll with that and, mm-hmm. you know, they take that information. So, you know, thecookingnews.com features a lot of, like, hints and tips like that. You know, wine pairings, one of them. Great recipes is another. Information on what's happening with different foods, yet another.
Nice.
So, cookingnews.com. Love it.
All right. I've waited long enough. Take me to Liquor Snob.
All right. Beat the flush. Can you, like, so Jake at Liquor Snob features all these different physical challenges.
I have read these.
And, you know, and the latest this week is Beat the Flush. So what you do is, like, you're out drinking, you're having a good time. It's the fall, you've had some mulled apple spice cider.
Sure.
It happened to have some vodka in it, or maybe.
You just snuck it in the Topsfield Fair. I know what you're up to later.
And, you know, so what you do is you get up to the urinal, and for you ladies, you know, you kind of hover over the thing.
You play the home game.
You play the home game. Immediately when you start to go, you hit the flush. Can you beat the flush to the bottom and pee all
before
that stuff out
gone.
Before it's gone? Called beat the flush.
Now, this may sound a little bizarre, but I have to tell you, I've always played this game and didn't know that it was a phenom across the world.
Yeah, you probably did not invent the game, but you're a promoter of the game.
Brilliant.
Yes. Other cool things, other cool products. You know, if if you want to have a pro bar in your own home, what's the thing that you're missing?
Those tops, really.
The liquor spout.
Yeah, the liquor spout.
And where do you get them? Well, Jake found out you can get them at Amazon.com. And basically, it allows you to calculate the right amount of booze in your drink without using a shot glass.
That's how they do it.
Less mess. Less fuss.
What about
easier
those, like,
drinks?
What about those, you know, like those automatic ones that they have at certain bars? Have you seen those? It's kind of like, it's probably like bars where they don't trust their bar backs.
Well, that's one thing, but actually it helps the bar, you know, regulate the amount of liquor they're giving in each of the glasses.
Yep.
Helps them control costs. In Europe, that's actually, didn't you just get back from...
I did, I went to France,
and
but I don't recall that. I mean, maybe I've seen them and I just didn't really pay attention
to it.
Well,
in Ireland I know, and I think in Italy I remember at...
Well, mind you, Ireland is not under the EU, if memory serves.
True. Here's the thing.
Get your geopolitics straight.
They actually have, like, pre-portioned shot things that you see
on all
the
things
at the bars, right? And that's the same thing. It's like it's guaranteeing you that you're not getting a short pour.
Yep, that's important.
Another cool thing at liquorsnob.com, a Bay Hangover wallet comes with a bottle opener integrated into the wallet.
Wow. Do not mess around with that wallet. It's nice. It's actually kind of slim. You know, you could just put that right in. You'd always have it on you. Oh, and the flask ski poles.
Yeah. So last year, Jake broke the story about these flask ski poles where you basically fill the ski pole with liquor and then ski away. Well, Cold Pole has
unveiled... Take a swig while you're out on the mountain.
I guess take one to the face and just drink out of the... It's weird. I mean, you gotta tip back your ski pole and have a drink, right? So the Cold Pole is
a
combination...
By the way, don't do black diamonds when you're drunk. It's just a rule.
You should not drink and ski.
No.
This is only for...
When you're done, you get to the bottom,
and now it's
time to relax.
It's funny. Look at me. I'm at the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. But they've unveiled the flask ski pole for 0607. It's stronger and lighter. That's great. You know, basically, at $75 for a pair, that's going to set you back
Well, I mean, I don't know how much ski poles cost, but that's probably on par with a typical...
Coldpole.com. Just go there.
You can
buy
decide.
It.
I don't buy ski poles.
Here's the thing about something like a liquor-filled ski pole. It's an awesome gift. If you know of someone...
Okay, now that's true.
Because, like, no one else is going to be able to find a liquor-filled ski pole. They're not cruising the web for that.
No.
Jake is. Or people are writing us in to tell us about it, but it's like, wow, yeah. Yeah.
What's that cocktail story? Go back up a little.
Oh, yeah.
Is that bacon on a cocktail?
It looks like a...
That's a strip of bacon on a cocktail.
Cocktails for carnivores.
The bacon martini.
Oh, bacon teeny.
The beefy teeny.
A heady concoction of gin vermouth and jerky juice.
Oh!
Man, oh man. So anyways, chow.com, I guess, has a bunch of articles on not so non-meat induced drinks for the holidays.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty rough right there.
Yeah. Liquorsnob.com. Wow.
Bringing you all your beef teeny needs. Yes, Spin Master. Where are we going now?
We're actually going to go over to the companion site of liquorsnob.com, cheapfunwines.com. Jake and the liquor snob interns have taken over Cheap Fun Wines and are continuing to cover what we'd like to call our delicious but affordable wines and wine products at Cheap Fun Wines.
Always important.
Yep. So, wine in a box.
Boxo wine.
Boxo Chardonnay, Boxo Blush wine. Now, for a long time, wine in a box was not considered to be like the most, you know, that's not right.
The penultimate?
No, that would be the final, right?
Wait, is that the one before the final?
Yeah, that's before the final.
The penultimate. The ultimate
is
the ultimate.
The penultimate
is the one just before.
So I think
it's like the silver medalist of ultimate.
I think that wine in a box might be the penultimate of Cheap Fun Wine.
Yeah, okay. I get it. It's the...
It's not the top shelf.
You know what? This is ironic.
Yeah. Here's the thing about you. So these are 3-liter boxes that sell for around $30. I've been seeing these a little bit more. You get an equivalent price of about $7.50 a bottle. And Jake's got some coverage here of free-range wine from a juice box. So basically, it's two self-avowed wine nuts have started this company, and they've combined forces to bring exceptional wines at reasonable prices into giant juice boxes full of wine.
I mean, the truth is, the whole juice box thing is really just a misconception. I mean, it's like probably like some companies did have some kind of cheap, crappy wine, but there's no reason you can't have good wine in a juice box. Or in
right.
the box format. I mean, the box format is just a delivery mechanism.
No, I mean...
Keeps the wine sealed,
maybe,
keeps it fresh.
Maybe for wine purists, like, you know, maybe there's some, like, leaching out of the box. It's not glass or whatever. But honestly,
that's,
you know...
What's going to leach?
You
that
can
thing's
put
like
a premium...
plastic-coated or it's metal-coated or it's whatever. I mean...
The great thing about this is, like, you know, if you are a white wine drinker and you can buy a really great thing of this, you can put a... You can basically shelf in a thing of wine in your fridge...
And just have
and
a little
just
glass.
Have it,
yeah.
Just have a little glass. We're like, psh, right there.
Probably don't
also,
have to worry as much about resealing. I mean, that's a big issue with regular wine. I mean, we know that, you know, the whole screw cap is coming back into flavor because,
or
you know.
It's new, but it's here, and it's great. I'm actually preferring to buy screw cap bottles of wine. And for those of you that don't know, basically it's, you know, kind of a new thing. Basically, it's just like...
It's
off a liquor bottle.
Cap.
Yeah, it's
and it, you know, I know my understanding is that the whole issue is, you know, the cork actually, you know, air gets in the bottle. You know, the cork is not really the cork is bad. Really,
let's just say this:
the cork is
not hard to
things.
Get out if you actually know how to use a wine opener. But the fact of the matter is,
drop a
it's much easier to just go twist and
yep.
pour.
And then you reseal it. I mean, that's the thing. It's resealable. You keep the air out.
The other great thing about the wine in a box is the fact that, you know. We throw some parties, you know, at our place, and we go out and we buy, you know, larger, you know, those magnum-sized bottles of wine, like the double wine. They're heavy. It's got all that glass. You know, you're like, you know, you're pouring out of that. You can have these at a party. You
sure.
could just, like,
right in the fridge.
Bartend it up, fridge it up a little bit.
Maybe
cool
a mini
down.
Fridge.
Maybe a mini just wine box fridge.
I like it.
Wow.
I think we've come on to something. We need to build
anyways,
that.
Anyways, free-range wine from Juice Box, better wines in a giant box. Now, the other thing is that, are you familiar with Woot.com?
I'm not.
Okay, so let's go to Woot.com. Now,
Woot?
I know we're talking about cheap fun wines. You know what Woot is.
It's... Woot is a terminology in the online world for saying yay, or hurrah, or huzzah. Mm-hmm. People say Woot.
Okay, so basically...
They type it, really.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
So Woot, basically, each day sells products. Like, there's one a day. They give you a great price. Like, today's is a GE 1.2 cubic foot double grill microwave with rotisserie built in. $99, $5 shipping. It's refurbished.
Wow.
They get promotions from all these big companies that want to see what interest, you know... Woot readers have in it and to gauge like how popular this product is. I think that they do this basically to also, you know, how popular would this be if I went the distance and tried to get this on a QVC? Would consumers be interested in buy this?
I see.
If I start to run an online campaign, are people going to be interested in buying the double grill, whatever? But also they give it out at a ridiculous price. Sometimes I've seen stuff as cheap as $50 to $100 cheaper than when you can buy it like the next day.
Wow.
Well, Woot launched Woot Wine. And what they're doing now that you can buy wine interstate is that they're doing the same thing with wine. So each day they feature three wines from Napa Valley, $50 plus $5 shipping. You know, and they go, you can check out these wines. They have... So Woot also has a community sort of mechanism behind it. So... The minute that this thing hits, these wines hit in the morning, you can start to read about all the things that people think about these wines.
Yep.
Maybe they've had it. Let's look at this. So today's is Saint Superi or Superi.
Superi.
Napa Valley Trio. 97 people have commented about these three wines.
Look at this. They have sales by hour. That's
so they show you like how many sales per hour. 86. People bought just one.
It's kind of QVC on the web, isn't it?
It is, but I think that it's just, it's awesome because, you know, I'll say it. Unlike QVC, where I have been on QVC, I have seen QVC, I like the products that Woot chooses, I think that they're more targeted at the 25 to 35 to, you know, it's a little bit more hip, it's a little bit more sophisticated.
Yep.
The products are more interesting. Their picks and wine are great. Some of the wines, I've actually seen some stuff that I bought some stuff off of here just to try it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All right, so basically they go through, they show you the sales, and they're like, awesome deal, I'm in. You know, this is the first, people talk about why they're buying wine here. You know, people pull in scores from other places about the wine
Very
of the
nice.
Day.
Gift options available.
Yep. I mean, they talk about, this guy's even got all, 3 different reviews from Wine Spectator that he, like, lugs out and types in. So, you know, it's a great service. It's a great feature. Winewoot.com from...
Wine.woot.com.
Yeah, wine.woot.com. Found at cheapfunwines.com. And actually, at Cheap Fun Wines, we've actually created a Wine Woot category.
So Very nice.
Every, you know, pretty much throughout the week, and, you know, when Jake thinks that there's something really good, or the Liquor Snob interns, or the Cheap Fun Wine interns, he puts it on the Wine Woot category and puts it up.
That's so, pretty sweet.
Pretty exciting stuff, and pretty neat that they can find all these different wines, and you can actually, in addition, live while you might purchase it, get feedback on those wines.
Outstanding. All right, let's head on over to reallynatural.com.
Now, that seems like an autumnal harvest place that we could find information about autumnal harvest products or cool
Sure,
things.
It's really natural.
That's right. Actually, before we get into fall foliage cookies, which we can talk about, see squirrels? There's squirrels.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. A squirrel cookie.
Yeah.
You know what? If you make that, you're nuts.
Oh, man.
Hey, I got the mic. You can't stop me.
So Jessica Brooks is our writer for...
Hang on one sec.
Yeah, I know. This is what I wanted to show you.
Good work, sir.
Vintage cotton and hemp lingerie. Hemp, renewable, you can grow a lot of it. Back in the day, hemp was... the way that they made paper and rope and products like that before it got sort of outlawed. I don't know why.
No reason.
But a lot of companies are making clothing and stuff from hemp. And the natural store...
isn't hemp, like, rough at all? I don't know. I think of hemp rope, and it's
does
like...
Does that look rough?
No, that does not...
Does that lingerie look rough?
That lingerie looks rather smooth and soft.
So the natural store, just at reallynatural.com, it's a UK store... they've got organic cotton, organic living, hemp, ethical fashion, natural ethical fashion. That's what they're calling this. And they've got a ladies category of lingerie, which the stuff is very tasteful, really pretty, lots of flower prints, lots of different stuff. They've also cover, like, handbags, stuff for, like...
Babies,
all made out of...
natural...
products, and mostly hemp. But I mean, not all the stuff is made out of hemp.
Obviously,
but,
silk.
But they're making stuff out of natural products, and so several setting styles available. There's, you know, the ones featured. They got French blue, rouge vintage printed cotton, elegant pink bows, cream lace, cream ribbons, and you know what? I like the photography. I like the look, and I like the fact that it's being made out of a renewable, quick-growing resource and not, you know, cotton, which takes up a lot of water
space,
resources
at the
time. Yep, the bleaching.
Yeah.
So some other cool stuff for the fall. I guess that wasn't even fall-related, was it?
No, but it was really worth covering.
Okay, nothing says fall like pumpkin pancakes. All-natural pumpkin pancake mix. It's like pumpkin spice. You can make waffles from it as well.
Who's this from?
ReallyNatural.com. It's from Dancing Deer. Now, if you don't know Dancing Deer is a cool company. They are, you know, I'm gonna bet that that they might even be Massachusetts based.
Really?
But I could be wrong. I don't know why I'm thinking
that. Storify, contact us. Go to contact
us.
Yeah. It'll tell us.
But,
wow, they got a lot of nice little bakery products.
I know that I
cookies,
see a
brownies.
Lot of their products at Whole Foods in Massachusetts.
Sure.
Whole Foods stores. And basically, yeah, they are totally a local because
contact us. Click on contact us.
Oh yeah, but they make cookies and molasses cookies and baked cookies and
chocolate cookies.
617. They are Boston, Massachusetts based.
They're in Boston.
Yeah. I've had a lot of their products. Their cookies are great. Their brownies are great. Their cakes are but they also now have mixes and kits. So the same stuff that they make all of their natural baked products from, you can actually buy these different kits and bake them at home yourself.
That's pretty sweet. Now I know, I've used like some good, like nice muffin mixes and things in the past, or pancake and waffle mix.
Yep.
Very nice to have a whole kit. You know, you just throw a little water, maybe an egg in there. And you're good to go. You know,
and you
just
seem like an all-natural rock star in the kitchen.
Definitely. You definitely.
Know? People notice the difference. It's really delicious. And I think it's also, you know, it's kind of fun to get something that you yourself naturally couldn't make. And maybe, you know, just you can just enjoy it the house without all the mess and fuss.
Definitely. I hear you. What else we got looking on?
Going back to the sort of the what we started with, all natural cookie shapes like fall leaves, fall foliage without the raking. It's Alini's or Elena's Cookies of New York, and they have fall cookies in two varieties: ginger spice and sugar, squirrels, acorns, leaves, and they use all natural ingredients. And you can actually purchase these guys online directly from New York and have them shipped right up to you.
Wow.
And as we're looking here right now on the site at I wish I knew how to say it.
Eleni's.
They've got also crazy Halloween cookies, which look pretty delicious.
There's a spider web cookie that looks really cool. You know, it's like webbed black and white with an actual spider on it. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so reallynatural.com. Lots of cool stuff for the fall, along with hemp lingerie.
Go for the hemp lingerie. Stay for the fall goodies.
Yeah.
Where are we headed next, sir?
What would fall be without a new Magic the Gathering collectible card extension?
Yay!
So we're at criticalgamers.com, and Time Spiral has just been released. They've got Time Spiral, like, you know, just the basic set of cards, and then also, now with every set of cards that Magic the Gathering releases, they've always got these theme decks, which, frankly, I like more than the regular...
Than just
build my own, because I'm like, I can just buy it, you know, and
you don't
play
have
the
to
deck.
Actually invest a whole lot of money.
I don't have to know much.
Yeah.
And it tells me what the deck's about, and
tells
I'd be
you
like,
to play it,
I'd be like, if I played the game a lot, I'd be smart, and I would have built this deck anyways, right?
After spending tons of money.
So, what's interesting is that, now you remember when you first got me into playing Magic the Gathering, it's a card game, you play with two people, you have a lot of fun. If you don't know what Magic the Gathering is, go to magicthegathering.com, Wizards of the Coast, and, you know, check it out. But anyways, the Slivers were in these decks. They were these crazy creatures that, were kind of like from Alien, right? Like,
yeah,
the aliens.
Yeah.
And the Slivers have a hive mind. They like to gang up anything that's not a sliver. Basically, they'll be like, oh, I need to attack you, you know, and whatever. The other thing is that as you get different slivers of different abilities, they stack on each other.
Yep, they start to spread.
Let's say you had a sliver and he had, like, the ability to have first strike, right? Then any sliver you bring out will inherit that ability. They'll all get first strike.
That's pretty cool.
So what Dave says here is that slivers have evolved. They've mutated over the years. And they have a new thing called Smash. It's a new kind of...
Game mechanic.
Also, Gemhide's sliver is especially good early since its men ability allows you to play other slivers. So there's another sliver ability.
Sure,
like,
it lets
you
tap to get
tap
more.
Out. And then, basically... They just have a whole redo of the sliver stuff, which, for me, I remember those decks. I really liked the sliver decks. You got a lot of the guys out quickly. They were low cost. And, you know, if you got them out and the other guy wasn't having a good mana day, it was a sliver slaughter.
No.
You know?
You were just waiting to say that.
Sliver slaughter. I really was. So, criticalgamers.com. there's a whole bunch of stuff over the last few weeks on this new Time Spiral release.
Now, of course, you know, we can't mention Magic without mentioning the impending launch of World of Warcraft, the trading card game. And
yeah.
It will be very interesting to see how the two of them sort of battle it out. I mean, there's a lot of trading card games these days now, you know, these days. There's several of them out there. You know, Magic really kicked it off, but there's been a lot of clones since then. But, you know, Warcraft could be, she could come in and hit pretty hard given the popularity of the online game. I also notice here that he's got a link to demo decks of the WoW trading card game. What's going on there?
Yeah, so you can basically download demo decks that give you a preview of what the cards are going to be like. Now, what I didn't get, because I haven't actually downloaded this, was whether or not you could play or do anything. I think it's just sort of like pictures.
Oh, no, I think it's two PDFs that have,
like
cards.
Just cards,
but
right?
You would print it out and cut them out or whatever.
And try it out.
And try it, exactly.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, obviously it's not on cardstock or anything, but...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very clever way for them to sort of get people into the game.
All right, these are the decks that come with like four sheets. You print them out. You get to play like a couple of rounds or whatever.
Yeah, it's like you just play with a deck.
Play with a deck. Cool. Well, I mean, they are really, really, toting this thing.
Yeah,
right?
They're gearing it. There's been a lot of marketing around it. I think they're going to hit the scene pretty hardcore.
I mean, and you know what's interesting is I liken this to be like when WoW came out, EQ2 was coming out, but like people were ready for something different. You know, I bet, and if it's done well, you know, the Magic players are going to be like, yeah, I like Magic, and blah, blah, but I'm willing to try something new. You know, I'd be willing to play a little. I've read a lot about it on Critical Gamers. Frankly, it looks really well done and really polished already out the gate.
And, you know, nerd that I am, I can say it, that's much like, you know, any product that's been associated with Blizzard. You know, the one adjective you would use to describe it is polished. You know, they wait to make sure that something is right before they back it. Now, obviously, Blizzard isn't creating this card game. They're working, I think, with Tops to actually produce it, but...
What's it called? Upper Deck? What is that? Tops
was
makes?
It Upper Deck?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
But I mean, you know, the point is they, you know, the fact that they're giving it the time to make it really polished, that's a really good sign. It's, you know, helping to further their sort of brand name, at, you know, with Blizzard. The other thing that I thought was really interesting about the game was when I had heard, you know, we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago, that, you know, they had this notion that it wasn't just you versus the opponent. There was actually the notion of, like, what they call a raid, which if you play the online game is, you know, a bunch of people get together to play some dungeon 24. Or to beat it together. But the fact that you could do that with a card game, so maybe you're playing cooperatively against a shared goal, that's a neat concept for a collectible card game. There hasn't been anybody who's done something like that yet. It's always me versus you or me versus everybody at the table or whatever. Now there's this notion of, you know, a shared enemy that you're cooperating
right.
against, and that's a really fun mechanic.
Yeah, and I think there's been other games like you know, that have done that board game wise, like Buffy the Vampire
game.
Slayer. That board game was amazing. Like, I would always play evil. One person got to play evil and control all this stuff, but then you went up against like three or four other people at the same time. So one person's doing evil, three or four people are teaming up to be the Buffy gang. That is such an interesting, fun night
yep.
of gaming versus, like, you know,
everybody for themselves,
or
yep.
one on one, and you've got a great deck, and you're just smoking me, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. I never really want to play you again, you know, or not with that deck, right? And you get kind of cranky. I think some cooperative card game playing could be interesting. Cooperative poker. What's all that about? That's an idea.
How do you take money from other people?
I think that's like a poker table game, right, where you're playing against the house. But
yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, it is fun to be in something together and working against a common foe. And... yeah, I'm anxious to see how this all plays out.
Hmm. Now, so Dave, who writes for Critical Gamers, I'll speak for him a little bit right here, because I'm one of the people that, you know, get together with him and we play the board games together all the time. And one game we've been playing a couple times of late is this game called Tempus, T-E-M-P-U-S, and I know it's been covered on Critical Gamers, and we really like it. It's a very interesting game that combines sort of, you know, a civilization sort of empire kind of growing game where there are, you know, basically there's about 8 or 9, you know, rounds, and each round you're advancing over civilization, and you're playing to, you know, just improve who you are. You know, you're trying to occupy different spaces like farms versus trees versus, right, you know, right, hills versus whatever. And then at the same time, there's a little bit of combat, but it's not overly combative, so it's a, you know, it's generally a peaceful game, and you kind of learn that combat is really a very tenable situation, that, you know, you don't want to risk it because it could be very hard, or untenable would be the word, not tenable.
Ye can't, yeah, be attained.
You get me. So really a lot of fun game, very interesting, and provides a lot of different ways to sort of move ahead. It's a nice game, so check out Tempest and check out the article of Critical Gamers that talks about it. You know, I think it's a pretty in-depth review on it. Also, I think another thing that Critical Gamers reviewed, just to sort of prove that, you know, Critical Gamers is, in fact, critical. They're not just saying, oh, here's a game, it's awesome. We actually tried the Lost game.
Oh, that thing stunk, huh?
Wow. It was so, so poorly done. I mean, we were hoping, you know, apparently the designers behind it were, you know, like, noted game designers. It wasn't just, you know,
it just
total
goes to
tool.
Show you, like, that every game just doesn't turn out well.
No, I don't know. I think it was really just kind of poorly crafted. The materials were really poor quality. And, you know, when we played it, it just wasn't fun. It didn't make any sense.
Did you sense, like, a rush to get it out for the new season of Lost?
It sure feels like it. It, yeah, sure feels like, I mean, the materials alone should give that away. Like, I mean, the materials are, like, you know, like pieces of paper that are kind of glossy, but that's your game piece on the board.
Huh.
The instructions looked like they were a Word document that was printed out, and I mean, like, really subpar. Yet the tin was amazing. I mean, you look at the tin and you'd be like,
tin,
oh, this must be a great.
Has improved in games, really has.
Well, that just, I mean, clearly they're saying, oh, look at all the Lost characters. Don't you want to buy this game?
Well, that's,
sorry,
yeah,
it's
that's
not
too
that
bad.
Good. So, you know, check out that article so you can get your own feedback. Please, you know, feel free to look at it yourself, but we just were not impressed with that.
Join
game.
The social gaming revolution at criticalgamers.com.
Well, we've definitely run a little bit longer on time, and we're trying to, you know, be good and keep
yama,
it short.
Yama, 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 yama.
We do tend to yam. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold off on questions this week. And
though we do
them.
Have a couple of really good ones.
But you'll have to wait.
Wait.
Sorry.
Sorry.
You'll have to wait till next time. So we're going to save up on questions. We'll cover them next time. And with that really brings us next to the, you know, basically our conclusion segment. So
it's fall, it's autumnal, it's nice, it's beautiful out.
You know, enjoy, you know, the fall season, go out and pick some apples like we said last time.
Cookies,
bake
pies.
A pie, bake a cookie. As it gets cool, you know, don't forget to gather the family around the table, have some nice recipes, drink a nice glass of wine, check out some cool new products at Kitchen Contraptions. I mean...
Yeah, and I mean, I know that, you know, hey, it's supposed to be about our blogs, but check out Woot. Check out WootWine.com. Those are,
oh, yeah,
like, those are fun. Like, what, you know, what makes blogs great? You get stuff every day, you know, during the week, you get to check them out. Well, sites like Woot also feature great products you can get each day. And you can just keep checking back there. They've always got something that I've never seen before. And also, getting more insight and more knowledge, you know, at CheapFunWines.com, and then also being able to, you know, get some more information on it even at WootWine.com, the great companion. You know, that shows, like, how sites go together, and there's, you know, cool, just, you know, relationship of information. God, I like the web, don't I? It's so bad.
I think you're you're a webaholic.
I'm a webaholic.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. We hope you enjoy what we're doing. We hope you enjoy the sites of the blogcast, or the blog pyre itself.
Yeah, the blogcast. I said that to you earlier, and
you
it
did.
Stuck.
It stuck. It was like a little seed that popped up. So, again, hope to hear you next time. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
And have fun out there.
Now you're recording.
No, I'm not.
I can't hear my headphones when we're recording.
It doesn't do that. It only does it when we play it back.
What?
That's how it always did it.
No, you could hear while you talk, couldn't you?
No. this isn't, you know, Sony BMG.
That is crap. We could do that before. I remember the first day that we did the podcast, you could hear in the headphones as we were talking.
You're hallucinating.
I remember.
That curry donut you just ate was laced with something special.